If you've started thinking about what to wear this fall, your timing is perfect. Because Macy's Fall Preview Event has early deals on looks everyone will be wearing. Romantic dresses from BCBG and Avec Les Filles. Western-inspired boots and bags from Steve Madden, all 25% off. Plus, take 15 to 25% off fall beauty from Yves Saint Laurent, Estee Lauder, and Clinique. Don't wait. This fall preview won't be around for long. So come into Macy's tomorrow. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
8:05 in the morning. Good morning. I'm Mark Bailey, Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Wednesday, which means it is also the 20th of August. Thank you for joining us this morning. First part of the show this morning, we're actually going to have a segment we actually aired a month ago on the show. And we're going to bring it back today because, A, we didn't have a guest, one of those times you just don't find a guest for the segment, no matter how hard you try. And we're going to bring back an interview from about a month ago. Jim Winterbottom was here, Hood River Garbage and the Dallas Disposal, and we'll talk to Jim about recycling, some of the new rules in effect now, and how it's opened up what you can recycle. We'll talk about all the issues surrounding that. And we did that back in late July, so we will bring it back and play it again for you this morning. Second half of the show, back to live. Rich Polkinghorne, White Seven Valley School District Superintendent, will join us as the school year about to get underway. We talked Hood River yesterday. We'll talk White Salmon Schools today with Rich. And I haven't had a chance to talk to him since I believe they got their budget passed, and we'll talk about that a little bit as well. So that is what's coming up on MCT. But first, as we always do, let's take a look at what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. 1858, Charles Darwin's theory of evolution was first published in the Journal of the Proceedings of the Linnean Society. 1862, the New York Tribune published an open letter by editor Horace Greeley calling on President Abraham Lincoln to take more aggressive measures to free enslaved people and end the South's rebellion. 1866, President Andrew Johnson declared the official end of the Civil War. 1910, a series of wildfires swept through parts of Idaho, Montana, and Washington, killing at least 85 people and burning some 3 million acres. 1920, the American Professional Football Conference was established by representatives of four professional football teams. 2 years later, with 18 teams, it would be renamed the National Football League. 1940, exiled communist revolutionary Leon Trotsky was attacked in Coyoacan, Mexico, by assassin Ramon Mercader. Trotsky died the next day. 1964, President Lyndon B. Johnson signed into law the Economic Opportunity Act, a nearly $1 billion anti-poverty measure. 1968, on this day, the Soviet Union and other Warsaw Pact members invaded Czechoslovakia to crush the Prague Spring liberalization movement. And 1986, postal employee Patrick Henry Sherrill went on a deadly rampage at a post office in Edmond, Oklahoma, shooting 14 fellow workers to death before killing himself. Days for today. It's the International Day of Medical Transporters. We salute all those who work hard to get people where they need to get for emergency help. We salute all of them. It's National Accessible Air Travel Day. I'm not quite sure what we mean by that, but that's there. It's Virtual Worlds Day today. And I think we are, by now, are all familiar with what that means. And it's also today, National Radio Day today. That's right, it's our day. And it's specifically about local radio, by the way, and all the things that we try to do for a community or a region, as in the case of our show. So I guess that was fairly self-serving, but there you go. It's National Radio Day today. Food and drink today. It is National Bacon Lovers Day today, which I know there's a lot of you out there. I'm not particularly a bacon person. I I'm fine with it, but I don't really need to put it on a lot of things. It's also a chocolate pecan pie day. That sounds pretty good. This is something I know a lot of people like. I'm, you know, kind of ambivalent. It's Hawaiian pizza day today. Canadian bacon and pineapple. And for drink today, it is a classic summer drink. It is National Lemonade Day today. So have yourself a nice, cool, refreshing drink of lemonade this morning. Or this afternoon or this evening. Actually, probably more appropriate later on in the day. But there it all is for what it's worth. May not be a whole lot. 8:10 in the morning, we'll come back and get you ready for our Best of MCT segment right after this.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Some things can steal your sunshine.
Ugh, I just got my hair done.
Sorry, the cooler's broken.
Aww. Anyone see my flip-flops? Anyone?
But COVID-19 can steal a lot more.
I just took a COVID test. Ugh.
Prescription medications for COVID exist. If you test positive this summer, ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com/COVID-19 to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Did you hear? Allstate car insurance now costs even less. So when you bundle with home, you can save even more. Check Allstate first to bundle and save with a new lower auto rate. You're in good hands with Allstate. Not available in every state. Only applicable for new auto insurance business. Rates will vary by several factors, including how you purchase the policy. Potential savings may vary. Allstate North American Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
When you've got real work to do, metal supermarkets will help you get it done. Fast. We've got a huge variety of metals in stock, and we cut to size. Fast. Bottom line, we get it done fast, so you get it done fast. Doesn't get easier than that. Metal Supermarkets, the convenience stores for metal. Find a store or buy online at metalsupermarkets.com.
The threat of wildfire poses a growing risk to Oregonians. And recent wildfires have provided some important lessons. You can prepare now by taking three important steps. Step one. Contact your insurance company to make sure you have the right amounts and types of coverage. Step 2. Create a home inventory by taking photos or videos of your possessions in each room of your home. Step 3. Gather and make copies of important identifying and financial documents. Store them in the cloud or another secure location. These three actions can help you and your community be more resilient in the face of wildfire. Be wildfire ready by being insurance ready. Visit dfr.oregon.gov/prepare now to learn how. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:13 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Again, what you're about to hear here for the next 15 minutes or so, this is a recorded segment from back in July, late July. Jim Winterbottom from Hood River Garbage of the Dallas Disposal swung by, and we were talking about the new... situation regards to recycling and how they're dealing with it, and what now it's expanded what you can recycle in your bin. So we did this about a month ago, and a lot of our stuff, you know, ages very quickly because we're talking about topical items, things that are coming up, you know, issues before government that have come up, etc. And so they're very we try to be timely. This is one that actually still though resonates today. It's still a very worth playing, so I thought we'd play it again. We didn't have anything for this segment. Rich Polkinghorne will be along, Whitestone Valley School District Superintendent, in the second half of our show. But for the next few minutes, here is Jim Winterbottom, Hood River Garbage and the Dallas Disposal, and he and I were talking recycling. Let's talk about recycling. That's
all right.
We had you on because you've been making the rounds of our local government officials and meetings. And this is in regards to the Oregon legislature actually passed this, it sounds like 4 years ago.
Yeah, 2021, they passed Senate Bill 582. Mm. It was effective January 1st of 2022 and with a start date of July 1st, 2025. Mm. Oregon's the first state to tackle this type of a program. And the way I look at it is it's set up with a dial rather than a switch. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, 2 or 3 years still until we're going to get it fully implemented. Mm-hmm. But there are some things right now that we're doing to accommodate the Recycle Modernization Act.
So what is the goal of this act in the end?
So there's a couple goals. And number one is to provide access to all Oregonians within a reasonable distance to recycle the materials. The second is a statewide collection list, which is uniform. So whether we're in Hood River or LeGrand, you should be able to recycle the same items either curbside or at a depot drop-off.
And that has been, I think, one of the issues over time is every place is a little bit different.
Yeah, so the material recovery facilities that we took our material to for sorting, it was graded. So the higher a grade you had, the better option you had for POs to get your material to processors. Now they've leveled the field with the MRFs. Everyone's going to accept the same list of materials, and there will be oversight making sure that it all goes to a responsible end market, which kind of started this whole thing back in 2019.
Now, when we say responsible end market, what are we talking about?
Somebody that is able to provide proof that the material is being reused, created new material out of, or sold as it is to be for feedstock.
Now this gets this has been a market-based system we've tried to use. Now you and I have talked about this before, where a number of years ago, frankly, the markets fell out for a lot of this. And a lot of this was going overseas to China in particular.
It was. And it was just a overstock of material that wasn't clean material. It was just an avenue for the residual to flow out of the U.S. and people pretending that it was being recycled when it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. And also, another thing I've heard in the past, maybe not from you, but from others, has been the facilities that we're taking these on here in this country had fallen way behind in terms of the equipment needed, and they need to be modernized as well.
Yeah, and that falls under the RMA as system expansion. Mm-hmm. Many facilities are not going to get permitted because their equipment and technology is outdated. Nowadays, there's photocell, there's robotics, there's AI. The days of seeing 30 and 40 people on a sort line picking different materials as it goes by a conveyor, mm-hmm. those are going by the wayside to be replaced by AI and robotics.
So, you know, I guess my concern would be, as I listen to this, is will there be enough licensed acceptors of this material to be able to make sure you don't get stuck at the local level with piles of stuff, for lack of a better term?
The organization that's behind this, it's the Producer Responsibility Organization. Mm-hmm. They won the award for Oregon at Circular Action Alliance.
Okay.
They have oversight on where the material is going and how it's flowing and the volumes. And with more of a dial startup than a switch, mm-hmm. They are confident that, yes, they will find mm-hmm. responsible end markets for all the material.
Mm-hmm. So for those of us at the local end, the head end of all this, what is this going to mean?
So you're going to be able to recycle more items curbside. Mm-hmm. We're going to accept that same uniform list at the transfer site and the depots in the county. And then there's going to be what you call a specialty, or I call it a boutique type depot that is ran by the producer responsibility organization. That's going to be for shredded paper, plastic bags, shrink wrap, styrofoam. And that will be managed by somebody else altogether, not us.
Will those even be on your at your facilities in Hood River and the Dalles?
We don't know where they're going to land yet.
Okay.
Yeah, that's still in the process. We're probably hoping by 2027 we'll have a good idea on where these specialty depots will go. It could be a shopping mall parking lot, a grocery store parking lot, wherever it's going to see the most traffic.
I mean, the shredded paper part, I think, was my it got me my personal irritation because let's face, we get told we just shred your bills and all this stuff. And I was like, I'm just throwing this stuff in the garbage. And it never made sense to me.
So with the new program, the shredded paper that's going to be contained in brown craft paper bags, the manager or the company that manages the Pro Depot, they will have a way to handle that to where it doesn't affect the equipment and machinery at a MRF.
Okay. So let's talk about then what you'll be able to accept. Now, I got to be careful because there are different systems depending on, frankly, even within Hood River. Hood River City is different. The Hood River County, the Dalles, Wasco. You have all these different contracts. And they're all a little different.
A little bit.
So I won't get into how the binning takes place because, at least not yet.
Yep.
So what will you be? What can you accept now? Maybe what changes?
So
here?
Some of the changes are the yogurt tubs, the cottage cheese containers, garden pots, buckets, all of those are now on the statewide list. The aseptic containers, the wax-coated milk cartons and gravy containers, everything we've worked for the last 5 years to get out of the mix are now allowed back in.
Okay, is this good or bad from an overall standpoint?
I think from the way we're seeing it, it's going to be good. It's going to allow people to produce less curbside garbage, and there's going to be more education and outreach on proper disposal and where this material gets processed at.
I will ask this. Now, I became a few years ago, via annexation, I became a City of Hood River customer of yours rather than a Hood River County customer. And one of the things I do like about being in the city is the recycling became fairly easy. We got a big bin, you throw it in the bin. which by the way, is what we talk about recycling rates overall when we try to hit goals. My point has always been the easier it is, the higher those rates go.
Absolutely.
And this does seem to go that route. Now, I worry about the end part of this whole thing, but is it still going to be fairly simple for people? Are you going to people have to separate more? Because you mentioned things like that. They've been removing from the stream for contamination reasons, now go back in.
So still going to be simple, still going to be the same cart. We're going to get the information up on our website on what the list is and what can go in. And the idea is with the system expansion to get away from bins, the little 14-gallon recycled bins like we have out in the county now.
Okay, the small ones.
Yeah.
Like I've got out here that we've got
exactly,
for
glass and things.
Yeah.
Yep. So with the expansion and with the producers paying into this fund, I think Hood River in 2027 or 2028, the county is scheduled for their expansion, which should include carts for the customers.
Okay.
And possibly a truck for the service provider, which is Hood River Garbage.
Right.
That's the end goal, to get everybody curbside collection in geographic areas greater than 4,000 residents.
Mm-hmm. Do you have that same in the Dalles, Wasco County, is it that same kind of division?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and counties and cities are rated on a priority basis, with Hood River County being around an E, I believe. The City of the Dalles is going to be an A.
Okay.
So we're working right now to land carts, get it implemented and go forward.
How do they grade them? I mean, I take it depends on what you already had. Like in Hood River City, in their negotiations with your company, had gotten, they were fair. It seemed to me it was fairly up to date,
fairly advanced. A nice plan. People look at Hood River, the city cart program, and want to mirror it.
Yeah.
The Dalles were a little bit behind. Things that they considered on grading their priority is the volume of material that's getting transported out of the area, and how many residents are in the area that's doing that.
Mm-hmm. I think I interrupted you though. You were telling like the So now, when will all this be effective, by the way, for people? When they, I don't want to cause people to start dumping this stuff in today and mess you up.
They can do it today.
Oh, they can. Okay,
they
all can right. We're good then. Okay.
We're good as far as the carts, the Kirby's, and the drop-off at the depots.
Okay. So you can now do your yogurt, kind of your plastic food container.
Yeah, the fives and things like that.
So, but maybe we should mention how you tell as a consumer. You've got it's those three arrows in a triangle.
Yeah, the bane of my existence are the chasing arrows.
but they have little symbols on these containers.
They do. You know what I would say is head to hoodrivergarbage.com. Mm-hmm. Look at the pictograms that are there.
Yeah.
But yeah, most plastics, anything that is tub oriented, will be acceptable.
All right. So you have so you got the tubs are okay, like the milk, the wax milk cartons mm-hmm. of today. Are the and it sounds like those now are okay.
Those are good. The what they call the aseptics or the gable tops.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know all the nomenclature here, but this just came to my mind because I use these. You've got the kind of the cardboard type wax cardboard milk container, mm-hmm. and then in the middle you'll have the spout, the plastic yep. spout. Do you have to do anything with that?
Leave it all together.
Okay, simple. Yep. Throw it in the recycle bin. Okay, there's a number of things I've been throwing in the garbage lately. Now I can put back.
Yeah,
I can
absolutely.
Go back to recycle. I like this so far. What else is changing here?
Well, you know, people are going to say, well, what's the cost going to be to me?
Oh, that's a good point,
right.
Yes.
So what I will say is anybody that's a producer of packaging, paper products, food serviceware, they're paying into this fund. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are going to bankroll it, if you will. And we're talking companies like Amazon, ConAgra, Coca-Cola, Kraft Heinz, Mondelez, Walmart. The list goes on and on. So they're going to pay into a fund which Circular Action Alliance will manage mm-hmm. and then redistribute in the form of system expansion and improved recyclability throughout the state.
Mm-hmm. So, let's face it, companies pass down costs.
Sure.
So there is a reality there that now hopefully you see those costs diffused. And this is where you always go, is it good or bad to be the first around to do this? The state of Oregon, one of the problems with that is that means we're kind of out on an island at this point. It's not, you know, once a lot of states start doing it,
right.
then it just kind of becomes a general part of how they do business. But right now, you got to kind of separate out a bit.
We do. And, you know, one of the media talking points is mm-hmm. there's nothing in the Recycling Modernization Act preventing brands from passing on the cost to consumers.
You are correct.
Which, you know, I said that all along. There mm-hmm. is a cost. No one's just doing this out of the goodness of their heart.
Usually they're not, even though recycling is important to
Absolutely.
Do. That's always one of my arguments has been about what some of this has been. Has been my issue with the market, with it being so market-based as it has been, is that you know, we say we want people to do this, but then we were telling them there's no market for these certain things, and we can't take them anymore. And it just seemed like to me it was utterly counterproductive.
It was. You know, people always thought recycling was free.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a garbage customer, I get a recycle for free. Well, mm-hmm. the term should have been embedded.
Yeah.
Right. It's not free. It all has a cost. That truck running down the road is not free.
Your people have to get paid.
Yes.
You have to get paid.
Yes. Yes. That is the ultimate plan.
So it's understandable. But you want to keep the cost as low as possible.
Keep the lowest possible price for the service we provide and keep the material out of the landfill as long as it's getting processed in a way that it was intended to be.
Right. As someone who has to operate under this system, How do you feel? I mean, because you mentioned it's going to take a full ramp up to 2028. Do you share that view of it's not by making a dial it up rather than the switch? Here we go. That this can work.
Yeah, I think we're going to be able to call an audible along the way mm-hmm. and make some changes before everything gets cemented in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we will, and we got a lot of people behind this product or this process that's going to help us out.
Mm-hmm. We do need to run. We're coming to the bottom of the hour here. We got to get to news, but it's worth asking about as far as, because people will have questions, obviously,
sure.
especially about what they can throw in there now.
Yep.
How do they get those answered? I think you got the websites, Hood River Garbage, and I think it's the DallasDisposal.com.
Exactly, yep. And the flyers will be up, the pictograms are up. They're all available at the transfer stations as well. The new signage is up at both sites, and then we're working on our rural depots to get the signage up there as well.
Sounds like to me the big change for the household person is are those plastic, you know, yogurt
yep.
and cottage cheese, I think of salsa, the clear plastic container.
Yeah, exactly.
Those now are recyclable.
Yes.
Okay.
Garden pots, the nursery stock, you know, those were always a big one too.
Right. Oh, that'll be a big deal around my house.
Oh yeah.
That part of it. So it sounds on the surface from the recycling point of view, it's a good thing. And also, I mean, imagine the less you can get into the garbage stream, there's a lot of cost benefits that everybody will be able to. The less it's going into the landfill, the less it should cost for garbage service down the road.
Correct. And the more people are able to recycle and cut down their waste at home, the smaller container they can get, more affordable all the way around.
And that was our conversation we had about a month ago with Jim Winterbottom, Hood River Garbage from the Dallas Disposal, about recycling. I will note, by the way, that since we had that interview, there was a legal action filed against the state law. So we'll see how that transpires as we move along here. But anyway, that just, we thought, we didn't have anything really planned for this first part of the show this morning, so that we go back, because it is informational as far as now what you can do as far as recycling is concerned in our area. Rich Polkinghorne, White Sand Valley School District Superintendent, is going to join us on the second half of the program. It is 8:30. We'll come back, do a quick check of news for you after this.
Hey neighbors, Michelle here from Hood River Supply. The weather's nice and we're your go-to for all things outdoor and agri-ready. As a locally owned co-op, Hood River Supply proudly serves customers and members throughout the gorge. From orchard supplies to garden gear, we've got your back, your house, and your yard. Need equipment repairs? We service everything from tractors to chainsaws. Plus, enjoy store-to-door delivery within 50 miles. Let Hood River Supply in Hood River and Odell help make this summer productive and fun.
Hello, this is Dr. Stanley of Cascade Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Knee sprains are common this time of year. A common sprain of the knee should resolve in 6 to 8 weeks. If you have symptoms longer than 8 weeks, or if you have symptoms of instability, repeat swelling, or catching, something worse is likely to be the culprit. Protect your active lifestyle and come in and have it evaluated. Visit cosmc.org or call 541-296-2294. Cascade Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, where our goal is getting you back to being you.
At the Springs at Mill Creek Assisted Living Community, we believe in living with purpose and enjoying life to its fullest. Nestled at 1201 West 10th Street, The Dalles, our community offers more than just a place to stay. Imagine dining on your schedule from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., choosing your meals from a full menu that suits your taste and lifestyle. Here, every day is an opportunity to thrive, connect, and embrace the joys of life. Discover a vibrant community where you decide how to spend your day. Visit the Springs at Mill Creek because your best life is waiting.
Looking for a place to satisfy your craving for delicious pizza and endless fun? Look no further than Pietro's Pizza and Gallery of Games in Hood River. Come down to our lively location and experience the perfect combination of mouth-watering pizzas and an extensive gallery of games. Whether you're a family, a group of friends, or a couple looking for a great time, Pietro's Pizza and Gallery of Games has something for everyone. So why wait? Visit us in Hood River at Pietro's Pizza and Gallery of Games, where flavor meets fun.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And it is now 8:32 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. In the news, the link will introduce redesigned bus routes in the Dalles, known as the Blue and Red Deviated Fixed Routes, effective on September 13th. Operating weekdays from 7 in the morning to 7 in the evening on an hourly schedule. Officials with the link say the new bidirectional design will provide a faster, more efficient route within the Dalles by eliminating stops on the outskirts and offering travel in both directions. The link will continue to serve Water's Edge and the Port of the Dalles through its Dial-A-Ride service. In a letter to U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi on Tuesday, Governor Tina Kotek defended Oregon's sanctuary laws and said Bondi's assertions the state hampers enforcement of federal immigration laws are unfounded. The Oregonian Oregon Live reporting the letter came after Bondi last week threatened to take legal action against Oregon and dozens of other sanctuary states and cities if they did not commit to repealing any laws that, quote, impede federal immigration enforcement by Tuesday. In her response, Kotek disputed Bondi's claim Oregon law enforcement and public agencies have obstructed immigration enforcement efforts. DNA matching Travis Decker and his three daughters were the only profiles found at the scene of the girls' deaths, leading officials to believe Decker is the sole suspect. The manhunt began in early June for Decker. The Washington State man officials believe killed his three young daughters, ages 5, 8, and 9. The sisters were found near Decker's vehicle close to a campground west of Wenatchee, days after their mother reported them missing. Analysis from the Washington State Crime Lab found Decker's and his daughter's DNA on objects used in the killing. The Chelan County Sheriff's Office says the analysis provides additional evidence that indicates Decker is the only suspect in those homicides. Meanwhile, Governor Kotek declared drought emergencies in Wheeler and Coos counties, directing state agencies to provide assistance and resources to those regions. Both counties have experienced moderate drought conditions since June. According to the U.S. Drought Monitor, Wheeler County has seen severe drought since mid-July, and long-term drought conditions have persisted in that county over the past year. The weather forecast, sunny today, highs in the 80s. East winds could get a bit gusty in the eastern part of the gorge. I should say west winds. East winds do arrive tomorrow. And our current temperatures at this time in Hood River, it's 65. In the Dalles, it is 67. And we will come back and talk to Rich Polkinghorne, White Sand Valley School District Superintendent, right after this.
When you've got real work to do, metal supermarkets will help you get it done fast. We've got a huge variety of metals in stock, and we cut to size fast. Bottom line, we get it done fast. So you get it done fast. Doesn't get easier than that. Metal Supermarkets, the convenience stores for metal. Find a store or buy online at metalsupermarkets.com.
Did you hear? Allstate car insurance now costs even less. So when you bundle with home, you can save even more. Check Allstate first to bundle and save with a new lower auto rate. You're in good hands with Allstate. Not available in every state. Only applicable for new auto insurance business. Rates will vary by several factors, including how you purchase the policy. Potential savings may vary. Allstate North American Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
I am Amy Knowles. I grew up here in White Salmon. I call this my home. I am the pharmacy director here at Skyline Health. Skyline Hospital is more than just a hospital. It's a lifeline for our community. Our patients are my neighbors, my friends, the people I grew up with. At the end of the day, it's about caring for the people who trust us with their health. I'm proud to be part of a team who takes caring for our community so seriously and a priority for everything we do here every day. I am Skyline.
Hi, it's Melissa Del Carpine here. Did you know 10 minutes is about the time it takes to make your morning coffee, finish a good dad joke, and drive to our new shop? Yep, we moved up the hill on Eagle Loop in Odell with more parking and in a beautiful setting. Same unbeatable service for all your vehicles. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. We look forward to welcoming you to our new home in Odell. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all. We're gorge grown and gorge strong.
Hey Hood River, we love a good block party, so now we're bringing the party to you all year long. Every month, Farmgrass Table Dispensary is giving away a locals package valued at over $300. Gifts from right here in the gorge. Spa days, restaurant meals, unique local experiences, and more. And here's the fun part. Any day could be Plinko Day. Stop in, drop the puck, and see if you're the big winner. The prizes happen all year long. Visit Farmgrass Table today, and maybe you'll take home the next monthly prize.
Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under the influence of this drug. For use by adults 21 years of age or older. Keep out of reach of children.
At the Springs at Mill Creek Assisted Living Community, we believe in living with purpose and enjoying life to its fullest. Nestled at 1201 West 10th Street, the Dalles, our community offers more than just a place to stay. Imagine dining on your schedule from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., choosing your meals from a full menu that suits your taste and lifestyle. Here, every day is an opportunity to thrive, connect, and embrace the joys of life. Discover a vibrant community where you decide how to spend your day. Visit the Springs at Mill Creek because your best life is waiting.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:38 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. And we're now joined on the telephone by, from the White Sand Valley School District Superintendent, Rich Polkinghorne. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
All right. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks.
So when do classes get started over there?
Oh, we got 1 week till kids come back to school. Today is actually our first day back with our staff.
So getting ready for all that. And Before I get into some you know news-like issues here, for parents who maybe are wondering about bus routes, maybe supply lists, things like that, how can they get some help?
Yeah, the best way would be for the bus routes. All of those are being developed right now. They can check on our website. That's the best way to find information about the bus routes, and that's on our school district website on the transportation page. And then school supplies, things like that, are either going to be online or they can call the main office. A lot of those were sent home to families in the mail already. But if they missed it or have questions, probably the best, fastest way is to call the office of the school where their child's attending and ask the secretary.
Yeah, I know enrollment, really it takes a month to really know, but what's kind of the early projection right now?
Yeah, I think we're looking at, we budgeted an enrollment of about 1,038 students. And a lot of those are known because we just roll, the grades up a year. Mm-hmm. So we kind of know what, first through 12th grade will look like. What the we're looking closely at the kindergarten enrollment, which we budgeted 60 students in kindergarten. But right now we're expecting about 54 or 55. Okay. That's the ones we know of. Mm-hmm. We may get a few walk-ups on the first day. We may get a few surprises, but a little bit lower than anticipated.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like the trends that we've seen in this area continue.
Yes, very much so. For years now, this is year five or so of mm-hmm. seeing this lower enrollment around here. Mm-hmm. And, for us and for our neighboring districts, it affects our funding, for sure. But we also, we've been preparing for this. We've known this is our new reality. So, we're ready. We're staffed and ready to work with the kids. We're really excited to see kids. Mm-hmm. This week, from a school perspective, this week, when teachers return, when students show up, is one of the most frantic weeks of the year for school district staff, just trying to get everything ready. So we're eagerly, but once the kids show up, then it's like everything slows down and normalizes, and we're all just really happy to see the kids back in school. It's an exciting week, but it's a busy week.
We didn't get a chance to talk last month because I was on vacation at the time, but I think I know your budget for this year, you guys were a little later on that. I know a lot of that had to do with the Washington legislature. I think, though, here in the last of late July or so, you did get that finalized.
We did, yeah. We have a requirement from the state to have our budget approved before July 31st, which we did. We had our board meeting in July. We put the budget through, yeah. So we're set for the upcoming year on the budget. We're still at this point, we're still working on the year end. We actually are finishing 2024-25 school year. It closes on the end of this month. Mm-hmm. So then we'll begin the process of closing out the 2024-25 year, and we'll have a better sense of kind of where we landed with our fund balance. And that, of course, informs our 2025-26 budget. How much money did we end with helps us understand better our 2025-26 budget. So getting close, but the budget's been approved.
One thing that you were impacted by money-wise, you're like every other school district probably in this country, is that the somewhat dramatics behind the federal budgets for education, and particularly an after-school program in the district was a concern. But having said that, I know I talked to Bill Newton a few days ago about this at your Hood River counterpart, and the monies got released. Did monies get released for that after-school program?
Yes, yeah. We're in good shape on the after-school program. That was some midsummer chaos that we would have preferred to not have to endure. It just threw, every district in the nation really into a bit of a chaotic July. A lot of uncertainty about funding and programs, our district included. It put a lot of our staff on edge, especially our after-school program. That was the biggest bucket, if you will, of funding that we received from the federal government, is through our 21st century 21st Century Learning Centers grant, which is a federal grant. Mm-hmm. That's about $500,000 a year for us. And so mm-hmm. to suddenly think we're going to be without that, we felt compelled to inform our parents and staff that this is a possibility. You know, that freaked people out, you know, and it felt unnecessary at that late hour. But we're happy that funds have been released and that we're able to plan forward at least for this year. And the funds for after school program were released, as well as all the other federal grant monies that we were expecting were released as well. So fiscally, we're whole and moving forward with an eye on, you know, the next school year. You know, what we're being told, at least from OSPI, is don't expect these title funds next year. Mm-hmm. So but in this way, we can at least plan for that.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, where do you go if given that message specifically on this, where do you head in this direction? I mean, from what I could tell, I read the letter you sent to your parents, et cetera. This is not a program you want to lose, it sounds like.
No, it's important to our students. You know, it's not just an after-school care. You know, it's after-school enrichment. So the students are getting extra support in academics. They are getting some fun. You know, they get to play outside and mm-hmm. do some activities, but they're also doing homework and getting academic support. And so, I don't know. You know, I think this is a White Salmon community is a really tight-knit community. This will give us time to develop some partnerships and find some ways to, try to get some kind of after-school care program, after-school enrichment program mm-hmm. stood up for next year. Yeah. But that's a tall order, you know, and it's not something we get funding for from the state. Mm-hmm. You know, so if we lose this grant funding, then, we don't have a way, we don't have a fiscal way to replace it, mm-hmm. at least not right now. So, you know, knowing that, we have some time to be thoughtful about how to pursue some grants or find some partnerships within the community to see if we can't get something put back together for the next year.
I would think for grants, I mean, you're probably looking at something outside of the governmental sector. I can't see the state of Washington necessarily, based on what you've gone through with them over the districts over the last few years. I couldn't imagine that's considered a possible rescue source here.
No way. I don't think so either. You know, the state has its own budget woes as it is, so I don't anticipate any money from the state either. So it's going to be looking to outside, third-party sort of grant opportunities to see if we can't bring something here to the community.
Something else I noted for the White Sand Valley School District, you're involved in a number of partnerships in this, and that is... I don't live in White Salmon, that the standard kind of residential speed limit's 20 miles per hour there, and that's why you're handing out signs to people that asking folks to stay at 20.
Just a reminder, you know, I think there's a funny story, maybe not radio appropriate, but there's a funny backstory to the signs.
Thanks.
We had some options. All right, let's just say we had some options on the sign. Mm-hmm. That the community was presenting to us, and one of them was, maybe not school appropriate. And I told the organization that was sort of spearheading this, the city, I like all the options except for that one. And she said, well, actually, everyone feels the same way. So that one got eliminated, which is good. Yeah.
text me that one offline, would you?
Yeah. That's right. Like, that might be your personal Facebook page, but not on our school district side.
There you go. Okay.
We're not going to put our logo on that one. Yeah. And so, just a reminder to our community, we are a tight-knit community, and, I think there's a lot of support for our schools and kids here, and it's just a reminder for people to, when school's in session, mm-hmm. Make sure you're slowing down and minding the sidewalks. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, we do a lot of busing. It's a broad geographic region, so a lot of our kids are on buses. But we do have kids who live in town, who walk to school, who ride their bikes. You know, lots of families are, now with e-bikes, lots of people are riding some farther away and on the road. So just a reminder for people to slow down, move over when you see people on the road, and mm-hmm. give kids a lot of room.
And, you mentioned sidewalks. There is a reality that in a number of your neighborhoods, there aren't sidewalks.
Yeah, very much so. I know, actually, just this morning on a walk with my wife, my son is going into third grade, and we were talking about how he's he's gotten a lot better pumping the hills with his bikes, which is, you know, we're also really hilly here. So
he's
built some leg muscles this summer. And I said, oh, he could probably ride to school now. But it also was a reminder that the roads that he would ride on are really narrow and winding. And, you know, we just don't feel like it's quite safe for him. From our house to the school is probably not, at least not yet, a safe way for him to ride to school. So a lot of kids, though, do walk and ride, and the sidewalks are great where they are, but they're incomplete. And so we got, that's all. Just a reminder for people just to slow it down during the school zone, in the school zones.
And one more thing I'll give you a chance to mention here a little bit, and that is I couldn't help but notice, I checked on your Facebook page before we came on here, you're looking for a lot of coaches right now.
Yes, we are. Which is a good and a bad thing. You know, I think cross country assistant, I'm not going to be able to name them all. Middle school, I think middle school volleyball. We need a high school assistant volleyball coach. You know, one of the things our athletic director, AJ Valencia, is trying to do is to keep opportunities for kids to play sports. And so I know specifically volleyball, because I happen to be married to the high volleyball coach. They've got almost 30 girls that are interested in playing volleyball. And, with a varsity and a JV, you've got, you know, at most 24 spots. But they're trying to put together, you know, an opportunity for kids who want to play, who maybe aren't at the level to be a varsity or JV player, to have a sub JV, which here we call a C squad. But just another way to keep kids engaged, you know, keep them connected to school. And so I appreciate that mindset that AJ brings to this, that keeping kids involved in school activities is important, and we want to create opportunities. But it also then creates, like, we got to hire some people and we got to find coaches. And I know specifically about volleyball. I know it's been, my wife Heidi's been beating the bushes to try to find someone who wants to coach some C squad volleyball, which has been a challenge.
Well, I
know, a lot of luck.
I know from experience around the Hooder Valley program, it's an issue everywhere to find coaches. You need an assistant football coach at Henkel, I see, a boys basketball assistant at Columbia, the volleyball assistant. You need a head boys basketball coach right now at Columbia, assistant girls soccer coach, and a wrestling assistant coach. So,
We got a few out there.
Yeah, no doubt.
And
I will throw in.
I think, go ahead.
I was going to throw in, for those out there who might be interested in being a coach in something, the reality is all the schools in this area probably are in some way looking for coaches in some program. So if you
absolutely. And you don't have to have a deep knowledge of the sport to coach, especially at a sub-varsity level or assistant level. You just got to have an interest to work with kids, you know, and it's an opportunity to get to know some kids and work with kids in something that's positive and healthy. And engaging for kids, it's going to be a really positive thing in their life. And the pay is terrible, the hours are long, but it's also really rewarding. You know, I've coached off and on for many years, and I stay connected to the wrestling program here, and I love it because I get to work with kids, and that's something I really enjoy. But I also love, you know, that the kids take lessons from sports after school. You know, and they bring those with them, you know, to their jobs or their families as they get older. And and so if there's anyone who's interested in coaching, whether it's, you know, White Salmon, we'd love to have you, or anywhere, you know, just as an advocate for school athletics. It's a great way to give back. It's a great way to connect and be connected to kids in a positive, healthy way.
8:52 in the morning. Rich Polkinghorne, White Salmon Valley School District Superintendent, has been our guest. Rich, thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you, Mark. Always good to talk with you.
It is 8:52 in the morning on MCT, and we will come back and start to wrap things up at least right after this.
Now there's a new way to take charge of your blood sugar. Introducing New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula from the makers of the nation's best-selling garlic supplement. New Garlic helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels with clinically supported levels of garlic, plus a custom blend of vitamins and minerals, and it's odor-free. Take charge of your blood sugar with New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Moms and dads, do you wish you could know where your kids' shoes are at all times? Now you can with Skechers' newest Apple AirTag compatible sneakers, Find My Skechers. There's a clever hidden AirTag compartment under the shoe's insole. It's sleek, secure, and your child can't feel or see it. Then you can check where your kids' shoes are on the Find My app.
Plus, they're available for boys and girls. Get Find My Skechers at Skechers.com, a Skechers store near you, or wherever kids' shoes are sold. Apple AirTags sold separately.
Hi, this is Dwayne from Genesis Septic Solutions. We offer all things septic, including septic pumpings, septic repairs, septic installs, and we do both commercial and residential. If you're having septic problems, give us a call at 541-993-7777. We have quality employees, and remember to look for us in the big green trucks. If you're having septic problems, give us a call at 541-993-7777.
Ready for some good old summer fun? Come out to the Consolidated Community Credit Union Summer Block Party this Friday from 11:30 to 1:30. We're talking free food, family fun, music prizes, and yep, even some friendly baby goats. Don't miss your shot at the grand prize, a big screen TV. It's all happening this Friday at CCCU Cascade, 1206 12th Street on the Heights in Hood River. It's going to be a good time at Consolidated Community Credit Union Summer Block Party. See you there.
Discover the peace of mind you've been searching for at Flagstone Senior Living in the Dalles. Flagstone offers everything from independent living to specialized memory care, all in one welcoming community. Enjoy restaurant-style dining, engaging activities, and freedom from home maintenance, all while staying close to downtown shops and outdoor adventures. At Flagstone, you're not just choosing a place to live, you're choosing a place to thrive. Find us on Facebook at Flagstone Senior Living or visit us on Columbia View Drive in the Dalles.
Are fleas and ticks giving you and your furry friends a bit too much of a rough time? Well, worry no more. Columbia Veterinary Hospital in the Dalles is your one-stop clinic for pet protection. Our team of expert veterinarians will positively knock those pesky critters out of the park. Beware, ticks and other pests are a year-round nuisance, not just a spring and summer issue. Be sure to keep you and your pets safe this summer and all year round with Columbia Vet Hospital Flea and Tick Prevention. Columbia Veterinary Hospital, serving the Gorge in the Dalles.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's news leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. 8:56 in the morning. Here is what is coming up on the show tomorrow. Ellen Woods Potter from the Dalles Arts Center will be with us. And we're going to talk about their upcoming exhibit opening celebration Friday, Rices, the Hispanic Heritage Celebration, 4 to 8 at the center. They're going to be having that exhibit up through September 27th, but a big event coming up tomorrow, on Friday afternoon, rather, in the evening, to celebrate the opening of that, so you can check that out, and we will talk about it on the show tomorrow morning. And Master Gardener Central Gorge will be with us on Friday on the show, so we'll talk gardening on that day. And then on Monday of next week, Marty Dane will be in my seat, and I will be away for a week or so. I've got to get ready for football season, so I need to take a little time away. So anyway, that's what's coming up on the show today and tomorrow and Friday. Couple things to mention in the area before we get away. The Dalles Library Beloved Classic Movie Matinee, Lilo and Stitch, today at 4. They'll have free popcorn and drinks there. That's at the Dalles Library. Tomorrow, Downtown White Salmon, Third Thursday, live music and performances, an artisan market, the Kula Chiropractic and Klickitat Pottery parking areas, 5 to 9 tomorrow evening. The Growlers will be performing there. Families in the Park free concerts Thursday evening at 7 at Jackson Park in Hood River. It's going to be Conjunto Alegre, presented by the Hood River Lions Club and the Gorge Community Foundation. Overdose Awareness Walk and Resource Fair, Saturday morning 9 at One Community Health on 1040 Weber Street in the Dalles. The walk begins and ends at the clinic, then there'll be a resource fair afterwards. And don't forget WonderWorks Children's Museum of the Gorge Touch a Truck event and fundraiser, 9:30 to 12:30 Saturday outside WonderWorks at 206 Madison, the Dalles. A lot of fun for kids. It's a free community event, but donations are welcome. And Butch Gehrig Memorial Car Show is going to be with us at 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday. On Sunday. Not sure what that was behind me, but from the Wham Museum in Hood River. Anyway, 8:58 in the morning. We're going to go ahead and wrap things up here this morning, and we will talk to you again tomorrow. For Cameron Eisenberg producing, I'm Mark Bailey. Have a great day, everybody.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bicoastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today. Columbia's news leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Hurricane Erin is more than 300 miles off the U.S. coast, but still posing a threat to the eastern seaboard. Surge warnings and watches, along with dangerous rip currents stretching up and down the east coast. In North Carolina's Outer Banks, communities are already seeing surge, and the governor has declared a state of emergency with evacuations also ordered. ABC's Ginger Z says Erin will be closest to the U.S. mainland tomorrow morning.
It's going to get breezier and breezier as Thursday goes on, all the way through Long Island, even Nantucket. As this thing pushes water toward the coast, like a big piece of machinery kind of pushing it there, it's going to pick up those waves. And that's why you get the surge.
In Texas this past hour, House lawmakers gaveled in, convened for roll call as the state Republicans push ahead to vote today on a measure to redraw the congressional maps that could give the GOP 5 seats ahead of the midterm elections. Last night, the state capitol was evacuated, authorities say, due to a threat posted on social media. President Trump is working with European leaders, the White House says, on a security guarantee package for Ukraine and efforting a bilateral meeting between Ukraine's President Zelensky and Russia's Vladimir Putin. Here's ABC's Karen Travers.
The White House had said yesterday the